Friends, we have been talking over these past weeks about being battle ready, having ourselves armed for the spiritual battles that we face as Christians in this world today. And truth is God is on the move doing new things among us, which he is. That means we need to be extra prepared, extra ready for the battle, because Satan doesn't like when God moves, and that means that he's going to be pushing back, and he's already been doing that. We've been looking at Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul talks about putting on the full armor of God, and today we're picking up in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, where we talk about the shield of faith. And as we get ready to dive into that today, let's just go to God in prayer, asking him to lead and bless this time. God, it is you that we ask to work in us today. It's not me, it's not anybody else in this room. It's you, God, your spirit, that we're asking to communicate to our hearts, to prepare us in faith with the shield ready to go, making us battle ready. Lord, lead us in this time. We ask it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's look together at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, where it says this: in addition to all this, in other words, in addition to the what we've talked about already, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted for the gospel of peace, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Paul's communicating several things, friends, in this metaphor. And before we look at the implications of the shield of faith, though, let's look at the significance of these flaming arrows that it talks about. First, take note of who Paul says is throwing the flaming arrows, where they're coming from. They come from the evil one. And listen, Satan is quite equipped to throw the shots at us and to throw his arrows. One thing that I've noticed since we begun this message series is the people that are telling me about the different attacks they're facing right now, the different trials that they're facing. I've heard about relationship issues and health issues and family issues and job issues and simply faith issues. Someone jokingly said to me, our pastor had to go and do a message series on spiritual warfare, and now the devil's throwing all these attacks at us. And I told them something like, no, the attacks have already been there. We're just turning on the lights. We're just turning the lights so we can see the attacks as they're coming and the one who's attacking. And I'd much rather fight a battle with the lights on than the lights turned off, wouldn't you? There are attacks going on, but don't lose your faith in these attacks. They're only a testimony to the activity of God. As I said before, the devil hates it as when God's moving, so he's going to send those flaming arrows, and as he does, you just keep giving him praise that you get to be a part of what God's doing. Just praise him as the attacks come, because you get to be a part of God's movement, and there's no better place to be. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If Satan's attacking you, consider yourself blessed and have faith. Second note, note what kind of arrows the evil one is shooting at us. They're flaming arrows, flaming. So what's so significant about that? Well, let's think about it for a moment. Regular arrows being shot at you are bad enough, aren't they? But when we think of them as being on fire, flaming as they're coming, that's even worse. First, a flaming arrow has the power to do much more damage, than an arrow alone. An arrow alone can pierce, but a flaming arrow can pierce and burn. It can torch a home. It can torch a camp. These aren't the Nerf darts that we teased about a few weeks ago. They're really dangerous, so we've got to be aware. Second, as a flaming arrow is flying through the sky, you know what it's going to do? It's going to distract you. The flame catches your eye and it pulls you away. And what do? You look away at it. So we can determine that the devil is going to be throwing these distractions at us. And if he can get us to look away, it's much easier for him than to slip in and get closer in those distractions, because they cause us to look away from Jesus. What happened to Peter? Remember Peter, when Jesus allows him to walk on water? What happened when Peter looked away for just a moment? He began to sink, didn't he? He began to sink. Keep your eyes deadlocked on Jesus when the flaming arrows are being hurled toward you. Third, think about what flaming arrows do when they land. They don't have to hit you to do damage. They don't have to hit you to do damage because wherever they land, they're going to start fires, right? Wherever they land. And what happens when the little fires arise among us? We leave our place in the lineup to go and try to battle and attend to these fires. This is a chief tactic of the devil. If he can cause enough little fires around the camp, everyone's going to get so focused on putting out these little fires that they don't move forward together in the mission. This is happening in churches and Christian families all over the world. These flaming arrows may not burn anyone up, but they may simply take our eyes off of the goal and knock us out of the race. So now let's broaden the perspective a bit. Sometimes when we think of our attacks, we only think of how those attacks affect us individually, don't we? But imagine a line of soldiers ready for battle. What happens when that line begins to break because people are leaving to put out the little fires? The defense breaks down, the enemy gets in and destroys things. Friends, one of the biggest distractions that I've seen in the years that I've been in ministry is little fires that go on around the church. And as a pastor or a leader of the church, if you allow yourself to become a firefighter, instead of the visionary you're supposed to be, you're going to spin your wheels in the minor things instead of focusing on the major things. We cannot allow ourselves to be drawn into that kind of battle. When we do, you know what we do? We defeat ourselves. When you see the little fire starting, don't allow yourself to be pulled in. Keep the main thing the main thing. And a final note about the flaming arrows. How does God tell us to extinguish them? We extinguish them not by fighting back, but by faith. By faith. When your faith is intact, you can beat the attack. When your faith is intact, you can beat the attack. So before we talk about having faith, we better take a moment to talk about what faith is. Once upon a time, there was an atheist, someone who didn't believe in God at all. And he's arguing with a Quaker, a deep man of faith, about the existence of God. "Do you ever see God?" asked the atheist. "No," said the Quaker. "Do you ever smell God?" asked the atheist. "No," said the Quaker. "Well then," said the atheist with a smirk on his face, thinking he had this believer of God stumped, "how can you be so sure that there is a God at all?" "Friend, did thee ever see thy brains?" the Quaker asked the atheist. "No," said the atheist. "And did thee ever smell thy brains?" the Quaker asked the atheist. "No," said the atheist. "Dost thou believe thou hast any brains?" asked the Quaker once more. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 defines faith like this. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So, friends, the reality is there is an amount of blindness to faith sometimes, isn't there? But faith is knowing Jesus and having a hope in him that's absolutely certain of him and that he will do the work and finish the work in you that he has planned to do, even when we can't physically see him. Faith is very much an action word. You can't simply have faith from the sidelines or from the bench. You never really have faith until you step into the game, until you respond to God. Having faith is trusting God. And when we trust him enough, you know what happens? Those flaming arrows just bounce off our shield. They just bounce off. They can't penetrate us when our faith is enough. Knowing that it's faith that extinguishes the devil's arrows, we're going to spend the rest of our time looking at five P words, five P's to having an active shield of faith. So the first is this: for an active shield of faith, you need to have a pondering faith. a pondering faith. Friends, one way to strengthen your shield of faith is to ponder what faith has accomplished in the past. We're talking about both your past and your faithfulness and the past of others, of the saints of God, other believers of Jesus through the ages. First, when your faith feels weak, look back to the times when your faith in God was strong, when it shined in your past. Think hard of those times where you really trusted God and remember his faithfulness in return. God always returns our faith with his faithfulness. I remember one time after responding to serve God in a particular ministry setting where I was just sitting back and, friends, I was just amazed seeing what God was doing around me in this place that he called us to serve. I was questioning why he was giving me the privilege to be a part of it. It seemed too good to be real, watching what God was doing and how he was working. I often have those same feelings when I look at being called and be able to work, be here with you at Old Fort Church. Just seeing what God does around us amazes me at times. On this particular day several years ago when I was pondering the position I was in and I was thinking, what had I done to deserve this? Well, I was discussing this on the telephone with a good friend, and he said, Mark, you've been faithful. That's all you've done. You've been faithful, and God honors us when we're faithful. And I remember saying back to him, well, you know what? If that's what happens when you're faithful, I always want to be faithful. Because this is amazing to be a part of what God's doing. And times when you're struggling, times when you're not sure, look back to the times where you felt more sure. The times that you were faithful and God responded. Friends, what does it take to be faithful? Having faith. Believing and trusting God enough to step out. When those flaming arrows are flying, ponder the times that you've had faith. Times when it's hard and I'm struggling with my faith, you know what I ponder? Times like that time and others, and remember where keeping faith leads me. Second, ponder the faith in the history of God's faithful saints. Simply turn to Hebrews chapter 11. It's known as the Hall of Faith. It records people through biblical history and the great faith that they've had. I'm not going to read for you all of that, but let me give you some excerpts out of Hebrews chapter 11, where it talks about some biblical figures and their faithfulness. It says, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life because he pleased God. Enoch's the only one we know of that didn't die. He was actually taken up to heaven from God because of his faithfulness. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham obeyed and went where God called him to go. By faith, Abraham and Sarah, even at a very old age, even though Sarah was barren of having children, were able to become parents. By faith, when God tested Abraham, he offered his son as a sacrifice to God. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob blessed each of Joseph's sons. By faith, Moses faced Pharaoh. By faith, God's people passed through the Red Sea on dry land. And it goes on and on and on. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, ponder the faithful. And it will extinguish those flaming arrows that are being thrown at you. So we ponder our faith. That's the first thing, to have an active shield of faith. Here's the second one, practicing faith. Practicing faith. We've already talked about the fact that faith needs to be active, but here I'm talking about even more. I'm talking about having faith in the crunch time. You know those times where maybe your need looks so great that you're tempted to give up and not trusting God for what's bigger and for what's better to come? These are the times where we take the easy outs sometimes that meet the temporary needs, but that leave us missing out in the longer run. Taking the easy way out, always what that does is that's us trying to take control, and it's not practicing faith in God. It's simply trusting what we think is safe. Because the truth is there's a sense of risk in really practicing faith. Now, I'll be honest with you, it's an artificial risk because you never risk if you're going where God's calling you to go. But it feels risky at times to take that step where God is leading you. There's that feeling of risk involved. Many years ago, a weary traveler hiked across the desert in the very hot sun with it when it was beating down on his back. His water supply was gone, and he knew that if he didn't find water soon to quench his thirst, he would surely die. In the distance, he spotted a deserted cabin, and he became hopeful that he might find a source of water there. And he made his way to the cabin, and he discovered on his way there a well, an old well. He frantically pumped the handle of that well, but only could bring forth dust. And then he noticed a tin can that was tied to the pump with a note on the inside, and the note said this. It said, "Dear stranger, this pump is all right as of June 1931. I put a new sucker washer in it, and it should last for many years. But the washer dries out, and the pump needs to be primed. Underneath the white rock, I buried a corked jar of water out of the sun. There's enough water in it to prime the pump, but not if you drink some of it first. Pour about a quarter of the water into the pump and let it soak for a minute to wet the leather washer. Then pour the rest of the water in medium fast and then pump hard. You'll get water. Have faith, this well has never run dry. When you get watered up, fill the jar, put it back where you found it for the next stranger who comes this way." Friends, what would you do? What would you do? You're the traveler, you're hot, you're weary, your thirst is overwhelming you. You literally can't go much further. And you dig up under the rock, and sure enough, there sits this jar of water still full from the person before you. And you are so thirsty. Do you drink it? Or do you waste it all in faith that a 1931 leather washer will still work and that a 1931 well will still pump water? Before you sits a choice to fulfill the immediate need and temporary need or to potentially miss out on a permanent solution or to take the risk and to have faith. What do you do? Jesus says to Thomas in John chapter 20, verse 29, then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed." Hold up your shield of faith and extinguish those flaming arrows by practicing your belief. Take the risk to believe, even if you can't see what the outcome is going to be. It's either water in the moment or a quenched thirst for a lifetime. Here's the third P of an active shield of faith, and it's this: persisting faith. Persisting. You don't just ponder your faith. You don't just practice it. You need to persist in faith. You know, what do you do when you're traveling in that desert and your thirst is overwhelming you and there isn't a cabin well in sight? I'll tell you what you do. You keep persisting. You keep going, and you persist. I love the story of the woman who pushes through the crowd to get to Jesus just to touch his robe in faith, believing that she might be healed. You can read about it in Luke chapter 8, verses 42 through 48. I'm just going to tell you about it for a moment. The woman had a physical condition that caused her to be the subject of bleeding for 12 years. For 12 years, she had this problem with bleeding. Can you imagine the frustration and the agony that this woman must have been going through? Yet she persisted. And on this day, she persisted in faith. She pushed her way through that crowd, not to talk to Jesus, not to ask Jesus to heal her, simply to touch the hem of his robe, believing that if she touched him, that would be enough and she would be healed. And friends, it was her persisting faith that healed her. Jesus says to the woman in Luke chapter 8, verse 48, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Now I have to tell you Not everyone who persists in faith will have the physical healing that maybe this woman did, because God heals in many different things and in many different ways. Sometimes he does heal on this earth, and sometimes it's actually a more perfect healing for a believer in Jesus as they go from this place to a perfect place with a perfect body in heaven. That's often a hard answer for those of us who are left on this earth, and it sounds like a cop-out answer, but it's really not. The perfect and ultimate healing for all of us who know Jesus is when we one day pass from this life to the next and go to be to heaven. It truly is a better healing than any healing that we could ever experience on this earth. The woman who pushed through the crowd, what she teaches us is she teaches us to be persistent. She was persistent in faith just to touch Jesus. And when she was facing resistance, it was her belief in Jesus that made the change in her life. If she hadn't believed enough to persist forward, she would have spent the rest of her days in life in the dreadful physical condition that she was in. Some of us are leading lives right now that are bleeding. Some of them have been bleeding for 12 years, like this woman. They really are. You're on the sidelines and you're dying emotionally. Or you're dying spiritually, or maybe you're dying physically. We feel that we're at the end of our rope. And when that's where you see yourself, you know what? Look up. Look up, because Jesus is passing by right now. The crowd is around him. It's so thick you're about to miss him, but he's right there. Persist. Move into that crowd. Push your way through just to get to Jesus, and not stuff to touch his garment, to reach out his hand, just to get his robe. Stick your hand out and believe. Reach for him and realize if even you touch his robe, something miraculous is about to happen. Something miraculous. Jesus will honor your faith, and he will rescue you. I don't know how he's going to do it, what that rescue is going to look like for you, but I know that God honors our persisting faith with his persisting faithfulness. Don't you dare give up on him. He will not give up on you. Here's the fourth P for an active shield of faith. It is peaceful faith. Peaceful faith. Peaceful faith only comes when we have absolute trust in Jesus and in God's character and in God's promises. When we really believe that God is who he says he is, and we really believe that God will do what God says he will do, then even those flaming arrows flying at us, even when they're coming, we can have peace. Even as we see them right in our face, we can still have peace. Not because we're untouchable by the arrows, but because we know that we belong to God and that God is good all the time, and we'll see through the work that he has started until it's completed. This peace doesn't come from a confidence in ourselves. It comes in our confidence of God. In Philippians 1:16, it says this as well. It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Friends, as a pastor for many years now, I've had the privilege to stand by and sit next to many beds where people are battling sickness and disease. And one thing that always astounds me when I see the peaceful faith in Christ followers. I never cease to be in wonder of this comfort that these believers find in Jesus in their last days, that only comes from Jesus as they place their faith in him. I've seen this with some Jesus followers going through extremely difficult other times as well. People who are really battling it out for their families or battling it out for their jobs. People who aren't sure how things are ever going to turn around. And yet, because of Jesus, they carry this sustaining peace that boggles the rest of the world that's not walking with Jesus. Friends, it's this peaceful faith that extinguishes the flaming arrows. It just blows them right out, because they can't make contact when someone has this peaceful faith. Here's the final P to have our shield in place, our shield of faith. It's a partnering faith. Partnering faith. This last aspect of bearing our shields of faith is so important, and it's so wonderful. Because you see, it's not my spiritual battle and it's not your spiritual battle. It's always our spiritual battle. Partnered together as brothers and sisters in Christ and partnered with the supernatural forces of the angels of God that battle with us in the spiritual realms. First of all, let's talk about the partners that we are to each other. Don't you dare take on the battle that you're going through by yourself. Don't you dare. Don't you do it. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't try to hide it. Don't fight alone. Imagine that a battlefield's there and there's this line where the soldiers are supposed to be standing, but in that line is only you with your shield standing alone. Who would do that? There's an army over there, and you're standing there with your shield all by yourself, your shield of faith. Who would do that? That's crazy. Who would do that? But you know what, friends? We do it all the time. As believers in Jesus, we do it all the time, and we don't ask other believers in Jesus to help us. We don't want them to know what's going on. We don't want them to see the chink in your armor. I'm just going to tell you that it's really odd to me when I'll get a call or a message from somebody asking for prayer about something that isn't embarrassing or anything, but they don't want it on the prayer chain. You know what it is? It's pride. I don't want anybody to know that I'm struggling with anything. Why wouldn't you want the army lining up with you? Why wouldn't you want that? I can do this on my own. I can handle this. I got this. I don't want to bother anybody else. I don't want anyone to think that I can't handle it. Why? Listen, you are not an island unto yourself, and neither am I, and neither is anybody else. You're not a Superman or a Superwoman, and guess what? No one else in this room is either. If you keep trying to handle this battle and take it on, get on that line all by yourself, you know what? You're being a fool. And you may be thinking, did he just call me a fool? Well, close to it. I said you're being a fool because what you're doing is foolish. You see, it's wrong. And you'll be defeated out there on that line with your shield all by yourself. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Look, I can't help you carry your burden if you don't ever tell me about it. And you can't carry my burden if I never tell you about it. Our faith isn't just a private faith. It's a community of faith. The church is the community of faith. And we need to partner in our faith together. Then second, we have the partners of the spiritual realms in this battle, friends. Remember what we read a few weeks ago in Ephesians 6:12, where it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of the devil in the heavenly realms. God's angels are partnering with us in this battle. Angels are not these cute little figurines made out of ceramic that sit in our curio cabinets. Angels are warriors. Any adaptation you see that's cute is probably not right. They're ready for battle, and they've been through battle. They're battling right now all around us, and it's good and it's appropriate for us through Jesus to pray, to ask them to join us in our battle. And to pray against the evil forces. God has put angels there to partner with us in the battle. In Psalm 34, verse 7, it tells us, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, it tells us, are not angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Holding up our shields is having a partnering faith with one another and with the spiritual forces that God has prepared for us called the angels. Friends, let's get our shield of faith into place. Let's not be beat down in this very real battle that we're facing, but allow our pondering faith, remembering what it is to be faithful, our practicing faith, stepping out and doing it, our persisting faith, moving through the crowd even when it's hard, our peaceful faith, resting in who holds us, and our partnering faith, working together and with the angels to extinguish those attacks as we get battle ready. Let's pray together. God, it is a fool who battles alone when he has an army available. A fool. And we have an army available. An army of one another, an army of the angels around us ready to stand in that line and to do the battle. God, we go through days without even asking. Without even asking for the support of your angels. We go through days without even letting anybody know what we're struggling with. And the whole time Satan is whispering into our ears, you can handle this by yourself. You got this. You don't need to do this bothering somebody else. You'll look weak if you say anything. You can handle this. And the whole time available to us is an army. God, help us to be battle ready, to put that shield of faith in place, to put our faith into action, to step out and believe that there's a line ready to move with us as we hold the faith, the shield forward, and we march on. Lord, make us battle ready. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, friends, we have the same power, the same power. So you know you leave here today empowered. You don't leave here the same as you came in. Even if you felt power before, you're empowered more. Empowered by the Holy Spirit to take on the battle that's before you. Team up. Partner up. With God's Spirit, with one another, and let's do this. Battle ready.